Hello, everybody. It's Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And we are going on part one, I guess, of human optimization. We gave kind of brief overview in the last video, talking about a little bit about what we are going to do in an upcoming seminar. But here's how we define it. And we're going to define today's segment of human optimization is the programming. It's the fitness training.
Yeah.
You know, later in the next segment, we'll talk about nutrition. After that, it'll be how you handle stress. The next one after that is how do you recover from stress. So all of those come into play to make a better human, a better performing human, maybe a better way to say it. So
yeah, for sure.
That's what we mean by human optimization. So, you know, let's start this one off by maybe just talking about some of the mistakes people make when it comes to their programming, no matter what goal it is. I'm not even going to say this is a BUDS related goal or a SF related goal, just any goal, whatever. Let's start off there. Like what kind of mistakes do you see that are very typical?
Yeah, I think that, and it's understandable why I think that one of the common mistakes is that because now, how easy it is for someone to do a little bit of research and kind of see what comparable numbers and expectations are for that PST, for example, or some sporting event. So they look at that and go, oh my God, this group of exceptional people, right? These are their scores. And so they get so they just really overlook the process a little bit. And they look at these people. And we do the same thing with athletes. You go, how are they training? How are they eating? How are they living?
Right.
But we forget that for many of those people, you know, even for people that have been prepping for some selection course for just a year or two, it's very likely that that person over that course of the year became very different. And so,
oh, absolutely.
Start training. Don't look necessarily at the people and where they're at. The question should be, how did you get there?
Absolutely.
Don't be like, where are you at? How'd you get there? So that's like kind of my first overview is like, all right. Yeah, use Stu and I and the people that we train and other people in different parts as an example of like, that's where I want to get to maybe. So how did we get there? That's the question.
That's a great question. You know, and I think another big mistake is people, you know, do very little research whatsoever. You know, you said they do research. I've seen many that do no research and they just go back.
So maybe that's the first step. Do research.
they go back to, you know, what kind of got them into fitness in the first place. So right. They may be, you know, going into the gym and working out like a bodybuilder or a power lifter. Right. And then they say, oh, I guess I need to add running and swimming to this or whatever, you know, rucking, you know, depending on the job they're preparing for. And then they start adding it on there, but they're not doing it with any particular system.
Yeah.
You know, they jump right into a 10-minute ruck just to see what they can do.
Yeah.
Then they wonder why
there's value to that, just to kind of give yourself like within reason, right? Like if you're a person just beginning a training program, a 10-mile ruck, many people probably could accomplish that.
Sure.
And it's not a good sort of like it was difficult. That's becomes the measure, the standard. It's like, so but if you ease into the water, so to speak, right? And you focus on those the boring stuff. Right?
Technique.
The minutiae, the process, the technique, the movement patterns initially. Well, then what's going to happen is it'll kind of take care of itself then because you're going to be in a state of learning. And I think, so this is what all comes back down to is like, I kind of post about this morning. It's like, don't rush yourself to get ready, right? Get everything set, right?
Yeah.
Do your research. Oh, get into the batter's box and don't be a big dig in, right?
Yeah.
Before you really get committed to that big swing of that program. Dig in, man. Time out. Reset. Go, man, if it don't feel right. And that's the thing is like it's probably likely that any program that you start might not be like what you expected it to be. And that's okay too. That's a part of the process. So just if you start a program and go, I'm not quite sure what this is, well, just stop it and start something different, right? If you're like, oh, this is not the goal I wanted.
Yeah. And also if you're picking up a program, whether that's a book, an article, you know, magazine, you know, something that you just found, you know, it is not personally designed for you, right? You are going to have to do some creative, you know, changes that meet you know, your facilities, your capabilities, your goals, right?
Timeline.
Because, you know, yeah, timeline and all that. And here's another thing about time. Don't get me started on timeline. Because I've seen way too many people set up these arbitrary timelines and then say, that's when I'm going to go talk to a recruiter. How about this? Set out this. How about you go talk to a recruiter when you are ready?
Yeah.
Right. Concept, and how do you define ready? So let's do that. Let's define ready. You've done a program and you're wondering if you're ready. Are you ready to go see a recruiter? What would you say, a guy comes to you and you put him through the assessment and he hits all these numbers and you say, all right, you're ready. What would those numbers be?
Wow. Again, if we use like the Navy PST for buds,
that's what we know. Right? Yeah.
That's what we know.
Yeah.
If someone came to me and did 25 or more pull-ups, and these are no order, you don't have to do pull-ups for 25 or more pull-ups, 100 push-ups, 120 push-ups, 115 maybe, 120. 100 plus sit-ups, and they are able to run a sub-8:30 and swim in 8:30 or less, probably.
Yeah,
that's kind of that's pretty
legit.
Fast. That's pretty fast.
That's very legit.
I could even go to a 9-minute swim maybe stay. You got to still run sub-8:30 for me to go. Yeah, go.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm just saying because it just does vary, obviously, but it's simple. More than 100 push-ups and sit-ups, more than 20 pull-ups, obviously. And in that point where, but it's more like when I'm seeing somebody do it.
Yes.
You see in which it's a fight. It's a struggle, or it's you just see this cadence of oh, he's done this before.
Right.
And that's for me is where it's hard to evaluate that.
Right.
With just numbers. And that's where it's unfortunate because the numbers are just not always.
Then I would do this too. I would take it one more notch. I say, okay, guy scored all this. And it might be one of the other guys that did this. Let's say there are two people that did those scores that you just said, right? Yep. One of them is a triathlete, right? Skinny triathlete, weighs 175.
Yep.
The other one is a former powerlifting football player who weighs about 210, and he just did that.
Yeah.
Right? I would say that powerlifting football player who's still at 210 and able to do that is 100% ready.
From a mathematical standpoint, he is far superior.
Right.
Right. Because he can.
Yes.
Mathematically, we are seeing a better opportunity to manage stress physically, decelerate, impact, fall, probably because those numbers are the same.
Right.
If we were saying the football player was not quite as good, he's off 32nd tier, 45 second tier.
Maybe we
change our mind. But you have two people of different mass.
Yeah.
Creating the guy with heavier mass is a far higher work capacity.
Oh, absolutely.
He does, mathematically.
And then you take the other guy, who's a little lighter, definitely an endurance athlete, good muscle stamina, obviously, but maybe needs a little more strength. He might need a little cycle in the weight room where he's putting on some mass just so he can handle himself under a log and under a boat. Yeah. And, because now they're obviously to the training. Now we got to focus on getting through the training. And one of them would be better off than that. One thing I used to do whenever I was, part of the selection boards and stuff was, you know how you score the PST?
Yeah.
You would, you get your seconds in swim, seconds in run, right? So let's say a 10-minute run, 10-minute swim, that's 600 seconds a piece. So that's 1,200 on your cardio.
Right.
And then you subtract the reps of push-ups and the reps of sit-ups. So let's say 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups. So now you're down to 1,000.
Yep.
Right. And then you subtract the pull-ups, which I think is times 6 still. So let's say you do 20. So that's 120 you subtract from that. So now you're at what, 980?
Yep.
No. 880. So you're at 880, right? So that's your score. Now, something I used to also do was subtract body weight. So if the same guy did it at 200,
it would balance it out there.
Right. Yeah. Guy did it at 200. Another guy did it at 150.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy at 200 is going to have a lower score, which the lower score wins. Right. Anyway, I thought that was a fair way to assess you know.
Right, because you're taking into account body weight then. Yeah. Right, you've balanced all the metrics of force production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just a neat way to actually come up with an objective score on a test when there's, you know, 20 different people taking it.
Right.
You know, of all different shapes and sizes. Yeah,
and see, that's always the difficulty, which is why it's such a common question of like, what is ideal body weight? And that is, the answer is, it's the mathematical answer. It's the body weight that you can propel over greater distance with higher average velocity of your whatever mass that you have.
Yeah.
And it can change. It's going to change with age. It's going to change with what sport your aptitude is in.
Yeah.
Because that force production will be different, as we're seeing, we're talking about. It plays out different from like a traditional aerobic athlete to a traditional anaerobic athlete.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that you have to be a big guy to get through buds. I'm saying there are freaks of nature on both sides of that spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, to see a 140-pound guy, you know, be under a log in a boat all day, crushing
without
it. Rucking almost his body weight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's and crushing it is impressive. You know, seeing a 240-pound guy, or let's say 220, you know, do the same thing and run a sub-9, you know, and do 25 pull-ups and crush the O course is impressive. I mean,
and that's why I say those guys that we're talking about, if you look at an NFL secondary, in my opinion, I will say from a physical standpoint, I'm not saying sport, from a physical standpoint, those are the best athletes that are walking the planet right now.
Oh, absolutely.
NFL secondaries.
I tell you what, the other day I was at the Naval Academy, and the football team was taking their Navy PFT. They have to take the same PFT as everybody else, push-up, sit-ups, mile and a half. And it was the defensive backs that were taking it.
Crushed everyone.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's obnoxious. So like if NFL secondary, if they wanted to, they have two options. Run the 4x1 Olympics, compete for it, most of those guys, or push the bobsled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so,
oh man,
you're looking at from a force production standpoint, there aren't anybody else in the world probably doing that other than a linear standpoint of a sprinter coming out of the blocks or an Olympic weightlifter pulling mass from the floor.
Right.
The change of direction that these 230-pound men are doing.
Yeah.
At the velocity that they're moving and then changing direction, that math right there tells me that some of the greatest athletes in the world.
Oh, absolutely. And when we talk about human optimization, I mean, they are optimized, right? Yeah. You know, they for their height and weight and skill set.
Yeah.
I mean, they are optimized, and they have taken their athletic God-given gifts and talent and have optimized those. Now, you know, I do not have those talents, right? I did not have that kind of speed, but you can work on it and be faster. You know, you can work, and that's all we're saying. Now, the cool thing about anything in the tactical profession is you don't need to be a world-class athlete to do these jobs. No. You just need to, for your biology, need to be able to max it out so you can handle these hard challenges that, you know, or in your future, depending on what special ops or branch that you're trying to achieve.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the commonality between sport and why there's one of them is that because you see example, let's use a football defensive back. If we could go back into time and watch player X develop through middle school, through high school and through college and getting the teams and we're talking about just the way they practice, the way they live their life, the routine, the reps, all that sort of stuff. And you look at it and go, no wonder why he's there. Well, it's really interesting because that same sort of common sort of conversation happens with guys with you and I and the teams.
Oh, absolutely.
It is. We look back and go, well, because it really is. It's just that process that we have put ourselves through. So many of us, we challenged ourselves in athletics and academia, right? We're great at creating challenges. Think about the teams is like, here's my answer. Why is there so much humor in these points of stress, right? Why? The answer is because in that chaos, in that chaotic world, what guys have is creativity.
Yeah.
And that's the outlet. that's one of those outlets is why you guys can laugh in those crazy situations where a lot of populations like, I don't get that joke.
Right.
You know? And so that's something that, again, that's the draw. That's why so many athletes find their way subconsciously into this community, because they're like, man, I'm not done being a teammate.
Right. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, one of the commonalities that I've seen with guys that are in the teams, you know, my contemporaries and beyond, they've never were necessarily the best players on the team, but they were the guys that, you know, spent 10 hours a week, you know, working out to get bigger or working out to get stronger or, you know, adding another workout to get better at whatever skill that they were lacking in, you know, to be, you know, to work themselves up to team captain level, you know, and set examples for other people. And they, you know, and then they moved on to the next level and were able to do the same thing. And, you know, and then they just kept on moving. You know, they were just the hardest working people on the field. You know, I remember my coach. Remember my coach used to say, is me and one of my classmates. You know, he goes, "Damn, Smith and Stankunas, I wish I had 10 more of you guys."
Yeah, you know? You gotta pull the
reins back. Because we were just and Stankunas was he was like the best freaking athlete ever. He went on to play at Auburn and do some great things. You know, played football for Auburn, and you know, I didn't even make the Navy team. I will tell you that you know he. Trying to get better, you know, trying to get as good as he was my constant journey, you know? And so you need guys like that, that push you, you know? So.
Yeah. Cause this is something I actually, something came across my plate last night on YouTube that, kind of exemplified this idea to me, what we're talking about, ironically, is that, and she actually it was a TED talk. She actually put it in the context of the warrior class a little bit. It wasn't intended for that, but that's how she lumped it into there. I was saying like guys in the SEAL communities, guys in the special forces community, guys in the high academia or guys that are whatever outliers, whatever you want to call them, like people that we're not outliers, but the difference is this, is that our willingness to let ourselves be vulnerable so we have the opportunity to achieve something we want, right? It's like, I'm not trying to force this SEAL team thing. Like, I know what I have to do is go, man, I got some weaknesses. That's scary. Like, that's vulnerability. It's like, all right, well, shit, I'm a terrible runner.
Yep.
You know, address it.
I got to get
right
better
in
running.
Front of you, man. Yep. And if you do, if you go, you know what? Yep, I gotta stop lifting weights and I gotta go run. That's scary because you've just opened your sore, and especially if like you're telling your friends, like I've got clients. I had a client that came through here last week. None of his feet for 2 years he's been training. No one knows.
Wow, that's awesome.
Not even his family.
Wow,
because he's afraid. He's like, what are they gonna think, man? Like that's scary, you know. But I'm telling you, like That's what you're explaining. Like that's what you're talking with these guys. That's what you're explaining yourself. You're going, you know what? Screw it, man. I'm gonna go for it because I'd rather live with failure than regret.
There you go. I like that.
So
one.
Vulnerability, scary shit, man. But it's how you get to the top. Expose yourself and keep fucking climbing.
Yeah. So when you ask about programming, you know, and human optimization, is you first have to address those weaknesses, like Jeff said. That is number one. You know, take the test. See what you suck at and get better at it.
Right.
It's plain and simple. Now, what kind of programs do that for you? We won't beat this one up too much, but you know, both Jeff and I adhere to a periodized program, you know, and when you say the word periodization, a lot of people don't really understand what that is, but you got to look at it like a fitness budget, you know, and it entails what you're doing now and a goal date and everything in between, you know, how you're going to adjust your workouts so that you can maintain your strengths and get better at your weaknesses all at the same time, right? Yeah, and sometimes it may require you to shit can your bench presses and your power lifts because you're really good at it, but you need to get better at your high rep calisthenics and your running and your swimming.
Yeah.
You know, it may, if you're a swimmer, you probably don't even need to touch the pool for a while. Let's get used to gravity. Right. Yeah. You know, so everybody has a weakness. Totally, yeah.
And so I think guys, the thing too is think about this for a second. Why a program? Why? Like, really, why? Okay, does it, hopefully, we're hopeful, when a pilot is going to get in, you're going to fly you across country, they follow the checklist. When you into open heart surgery, that surgeon is going to follow a checklist and checking in and out of those instruments, getting in and out of that surgery. Why? Because when you're dealing with high stress, high intellect, we can't just go, yeah, I'm omnipotent. I don't need a program.
Right.
I got this.
Yeah, I'm going to make up my own.
That's what a program is. Yeah. It's a checklist. Yeah. That you get to a point and go, this checklist isn't working for me right now. It doesn't mean it's not valuable. You just made me to bring another checklist in. Right. Try that checklist for a while, right? And then just before you know it, now you just have all these options.
Yeah.
But you're still following a checklist because you can't take it for granted.
And regular assessments. See how you're doing regularly. Now, that doesn't mean you have to take a PST every week, you know, monthly. Definitely.
Yeah. Check it out.
Especially if that's your goal.
You should be doing that with your programs as well too, right? Yeah. Which is why there should be built-in progression. There should be built-in places where you can make adjustments so you can week by week feel like and actually gain that progress that we're working for.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's time and distance and running, or it is, you know, a workout that you did in week one that kicked your ass, but in week seven, you crush it.
Yeah. Keep that note one of those days. Like if a particular program like block in that day or a week just crushes you, go, all right, shelve that and go, I'm coming back to you in 6 weeks.
All right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And and that's the way I look at it. I go, if something challenges me, it's not like, well, I can't overhead squat. Give me 6 months. Like that's an actual goal of mine right now. I'm trying
overhead squat. To, nice.
I'm trying to actually not like I can get overhead and do it. Like I want to be Olympic locked overhead on. Vertical. Yeah. And full, it's full I'm not saying squat. I want to do body weight. If I can do it with a bar plus a bit more, maybe extra 30 or 40 pounds. Like if I can do it with 60 or 70 pounds front squat, that means I have to hold. Right? You see what I mean?
It's
challenge yourself with not just run faster, lift heavier.
You know what I'm doing right now? Yoga class.
There you go.
It is kicking my ass.
Yeah,
man. I won't lie to
you.
I
got my own. I started doing jiu-jitsu 3 days a week too.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
Yeah. Like it's, and that's the thing is like learn to balance it all.
Yeah.
With calories, with sleep. Like got to figure this stuff out.
It's pretty funny. Our yoga class is a whole bunch of dudes. So we called it Broga.
Yeah. And I mean, in the mornings I do a bit of my own kind of thing. And that's why I started doing jiu-jitsu. Cause it was like, man, the physics of it and the physiology tied in there, man. Like I just,
jiu-jitsu is cool stuff.
I love it. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's been a long time, but just growing up, like I did wrestling, it was very natural for me to get back into jiu-jitsu. But now I went, you know, when I left high school as a wrestler at like 105 or 108, whatever it was. And I did grappling and Muay Thai all through college and high school and stuff at times. But now I'm 225 in a sport where I'm like, I know wrestling well, jiu-jitsu, I'm learning. But it's like now I have some strength.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's really cool because I can learn a sport with this capability of having strength. And that's why I say people that don't have to do jiu-jitsu, it's like, and this is the advice Joe Rogan gives, like, and this can go for any sport. This goes into PT. It's
the
like
foundation of strength goes a long way.
Just get a bit stronger. And then it makes the sports that you're like, I don't know if I could start this. You can handle the wear and tear. So it's cool. Yep. It's like after the years of me weight training properly, full extension, my shoulders are in good flexibility. I get introduced to jiu-jitsu. Now I'm jiu-jitsu sore. I'm just not beat up.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, that strength is definitely tied into durability.
Yes. 100%. It is. And mass to a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So
100%.
All right. So you got anything to top it off with this one? I think we hit this one pretty good.
Yeah. Cause we didn't want to be specific because we want you, this is like, hey guys, let's continue to evaluate our program on a daily basis or a weekly basis, right? Constant assessment. Being in a state assessment, you can make adjustments because you need to, not because you're like, I don't know, maybe I should just make a change.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's how, you know, that's how you're going to build, you know, a better human.
For sure. That's right. I mean, that's really what it is, because we're in the tactical space teaching, but this is transcendent.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So until next time we'll talk about the fuel side of this equation.
You betcha.
You know? Yep. Awesome. All right. Yep, thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yep.